Hi, I'm Dr. Taryn Clark. I'm a neurologist from Southern California, and I'm also the communication director for America's Frontline Doctors. We're gathered here in person and around the world online today to continue to advocate for health, individual rights, and most importantly, for medical freedom. We are worn down from the fight and the assault on our freedom. What we hoped in the beginning might be a sprint is turning out to be a marathon, and it may end up being the length of several marathons before this is finally behind us. So what I wanted to do was review the years of 2020 and 2021 to regain that perspective of what we've been through, to bring the pain and the tragedy back to the surface, to again renew our resolve to fight for our freedoms. When 9/11 happened, we all said we would never forget. And yet for many Americans, this has become a normal day on the calendar. When we watch the documentaries of the day, it brings back the fear, the terror, the understanding that our world would never be the same. We owe those who lost so much the honor of remembering this horrible day. We as Americans are an optimistic bunch, and so it's really natural for us to compartmentalize the terror that we've been through during this pandemic. Just as we revisit 9/11 annually, so must we now revisit what's been done to us and the freedoms that have been taken in the name of public health and public safety. We have to bring that pain and tragedy back to the surface to help us conquer the tyranny of today and to fight to prevent the totalitarianism of the future. Early in the pandemic, Simone Gold, being both a doctor and a lawyer, correctly identified that we were facing a medical challenge, but we were facing a legal crisis. Everything that public health has recommended has been wrong. It was clear that their guidance regarding quarantining the healthy, social distancing, and universal masking was in direct conflict with all of our medical knowledge and data to date. The government started with lockdowns. What began as 15 days to stop the spread has become over 500 days of living in a state of emergency. Over 500 days of absurd mandates, which are not supported by scientific data. Over 500 days of increasing propaganda from public health officials. Over 500 days of increasing censorship of free speech, corruption of our medical journals, and suppression of treatment options for a virus that has an over 99% survival rate. The first year of this pandemic cultivated in a mass vaccination program, the first vaccine ever released to the general public in mass vaccination while only under emergency use authorization. And midway through our second year, under a state of emergency, we're facing the introduction of a digital identification card under the guise of keeping citizens healthy. Understand that looking back, none of this would have been possible without laying a foundation with a false assumption that asymptomatic spread was a problem with this virus. Even Dr. Fauci himself had said asymptomatic spread has never driven pandemics. In the history of the world, we have not quarantined the healthy. We have always quarantined the sick. But convincing us that the well might be sick allowed us to be locked down as an entire society. How else could we be deprived of our lives, our livelihoods? Everyone was sick unless proven healthy. But there was no way we were able to prove that we were healthy. Whereas before, we might have seen somebody coughing or looked visibly ill and walked way around them to avoid them, we were taught to walk way around everybody and to avoid everybody. And we were encouraged not to hug each other because our hugs could kill. And then there were masks. At the beginning, we didn't really fight against masks because the whole thing was so ludicrous that masks would be used to stop viral transmission. We didn't even address it at the first summit. That's how stupid we thought the whole concept was. There has been 40 years of data looking at masks and viral transmission, and they've never been shown to stop viral transmission in the general community. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was a really great study that came out of Korea with masks, and they specifically used people who had SARS-CoV-2. Very specific data that showed when people wore a cloth mask or an N95 mask, that they could measure SARS-CoV-2 on the inside of the mask, on the outside of the mask, and on a viral plate used to pick that up at a little bit of distance. So we knew the masks made no difference specifically in this virus. You probably haven't heard of that study because soon after it was released, it was retracted, as we've seen a pattern of happening with our medical journals. The reason this study was retracted was because in the control samples, when they reported that in people who didn't have SARS-CoV-2 and went through all of these things, they reported that no virus was detected. They signified that ND, not detected. The reason this study was retracted was because on the test system they used, the official designation was below the level of detection, below LOD. And so they contacted the authors and they said, you need to retract your article because you should have said below the level of detection instead of not detected on the controls. And the authors said, let us update our research study because in the meantime, we actually have more data that shows the exact same thing. We can make a larger sample size. And they said, no, we demand that you retract this study. Masks had a progression from a duty to wear to reopen our small stores and be able to go to the grocery store. They became a fashion accessory. At one point, I bought a bunch of American flag masks for my family, and my husband said, absolutely not. We will not put an American flag on our face over our mouth. That is the most un-American thing. And it hadn't dawned on me. As much as we love America, we do not put our flag over our mouth to block our speech. It then became a source of virtue signaling. Although fear is not a virtue, so we really must call it fear signaling. And then eventually it's become a tool of coercion to get us to accept a medical treatment that we don't need. We've changed our language and our labels. Somebody who may have been a critical thinker is now a conspiracy theorist. A doctor who knows this science has read all the data on masks and understands they have no benefit and no role here is an anti-masker. And physicians who understand vaccines, who are fully vaccinated, who give vaccines to their patients because they dare to question what's happening with this new vaccine that's been rushed and animal studies were completely skipped, is now called an anti-vaxxer. Public health didn't change just our words, they also changed our laws. In California, our governor closed our beaches for our health. These ladies were not having it. They meet for coffee every day at the beach, they're in their 80s, and they pulled back the barrier and they sat on their beach. However, this individual was arrested. Law enforcement thought it would be safer for him to be near other people than by himself in the ocean, in the fresh water. They thought they should stuff him in a police vehicle and then put him in jail with strangers for several hours for his own health. Do you remember where you were when you saw this graphic and realized this is not about a virus? Do you remember where you were when you found out that the schools would be closing? Do you remember where you were when you learned that the governments were shutting down our businesses, when you were scrambling to read the mandates and figure out if you would be allowed to open your business or if you would be allowed to earn a living? Do you remember where you were? When you learned of the first suicide of a teenager in your community from the lockdowns, and the first fatal drug overdose of somebody recovered who lost all of their support groups and was completely hopeless, and the first death of a family member whose life you couldn't celebrate together because we were prohibited from having funerals and worshiping in church. All of the science generated during this pandemic showed that asymptomatic spread was not a significant concern, that lockdowns had not only been effective at changing the pandemic, but they had destroyed economies and they had destroyed lives. And yet, despite all of this science, governments and media around the world are already warning citizens that lockdowns will return this fall. We're in the eye of the storm. It seems good now. Most places don't have mask mandates. Most businesses are open. This is a false sense of security. It's all coming back. We need to use this time where we have a little bit of reprieve to regroup and get ready for fall. What we used to call cold and flu season is now the fourth wave, the fifth wave, the 10th wave. It's not going to end. This is an endemic cold virus that is now in our community. It's going to continue to mutate. Mutations are always more contagious and less severe, and that's going to be used against us. When my grandpa was 91, he caught a cold, and it turned into pneumonia, and he was hospitalized and eventually placed on a ventilator. And he passed away. You know what we did? We celebrated his life. You know what we didn't do? We didn't ask the doctor, which precise cold virus led to this pneumonia? Was it an adenovirus? Was it a rhinovirus? Was it a coronavirus? And you know, his death certificate said pneumonia. That's how it was until 2020, when we became completely obsessed with death and death certificates. Death counts led the evening news, and there was an ever-present death count on the upper right corner of CNN. We ignored the fact that millions of Americans die every year. Each death on this death counter was said to be completely avoidable. There was also no mention of the average age of death of most of these people. And in most communities, it actually was the same as the average rate of life expectancy, the average age of life expectancy. When astronaut and Senator John Glenn passed away in 2016 at age 95, no cause of death was ever released to the media. We celebrated his accomplishments and a well-lived life. Yet when his wife passed in 2020 at the age of 100, all of the headlines reported that she died of coronavirus. There was mention of her accomplishments served with a large side of what a tragedy that she died of COVID. We may remember wondering if the pandemic would end on November 4th, thinking that if it was just a mechanism to get rid of President Trump, and that if Mr. Biden was elected, that we would be allowed to get back to our peaceful lives. But that didn't happen. Despite graphs like this, we're still under a national state of emergency. I want to explain this graph to you. This is my actual county data that I took just earlier this week. The green are all the negative tests that have been done throughout this pandemic. The yellow on this screen are the positive cases. And we're living in a state of emergency in my county. They won't remove the local health emergency with a graph like this. This sure doesn't look like a community of people living in a state of immediate peril that need to be having their constitutional rights suspended for their own health. This propaganda has become relentless. And if you've heard me speak before, and we've been censored, and it's been called misinformation, I like to rely just actually on what public health says itself. And what they say are things like this. We see that when we look at the CDC guidelines for documenting an exposure to COVID, It matters not if either person was wearing a mask. On their own website, they tell you masks do nothing. They don't prevent an exposure. You can't go to work sick with a mask thinking that you're not going to make people sick. And that's the myth of asymptomatic spread. The myth is because as a people, we want to go to work. We think we are so important that we can't miss a single day or we don't want to use our sick days. And so people still do go to work a little bit sick with a sore throat. And now the problem is they're thinking, shoot, I'm sick, but I can't tell anybody, but it's okay because I'm wearing a mask. And that's what we think is asymptomatic spread. That's what it's being turned into. I want to show you a couple of these and tell you that your biggest red flag for propaganda from public health is experts say. They're not saying the data shows. They're not saying this study shows. They say experts say. And so as we read this, this is a tweet from the CDC. Pregnant? You may discuss COVID-19 vaccines with your doctor, but it's not required before vaccination. While studies have not yet been done, experts believe mRNA vaccines like COVID-19 vaccines are unlikely to pose a risk for hashtag pregnant people. If I recommend that a pregnant woman takes vitamin D, I have her ask her obstetrician. We don't put anything in a pregnant woman's body without asking their obstetrician. And here you have the CDC basically saying, you don't really need to talk to your doctor. And some mysterious expert says, no studies, but we say it's okay. I wonder if I were a pregnant woman, I would be thinking, can I talk to this expert? Can I ask them my questions about this vaccine? Should I sue them if I have a side effect? It's on and on. Here's another one. I've already had COVID-19, so I don't need to be vaccinated. This is a myth, according to public health. Doctors know this is a fact. We have a broad and durable immune response to COVID, and there are multiple studies that document that we do not need to be vaccinated. And yet we have these statements. You should still get vaccinated, health experts say. Dr. Lena Wen appears on CNN frequently and often gives us a glimpse of the soft totalitarianism that is the current governing of the U.S. She said, as more states lift restrictions, the Biden administration has a narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination. Vaccines should be presented as the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. She wanted to reward the vaccinated by giving them back their freedom. She didn't understand the depth of the compliance that was required, and just people getting vaccinated themselves is not enough. Javier Becerra, our new director of Health and Human Services, which I apologize to you, he's from my home state. We are sending a lot of really bad people to the federal government from California. He boldly extolled his totalitarian outlook when asked about the door-to-door vaccine program. He said, it is absolutely the government's business to know if people are vaccinated, and we want to give people the sense that they have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom to choose. The permission doesn't come from the government. And we are not looking for his permission to have our freedoms. When we talk about medical misinformation, all of the doctors here have been censored. Every post I put on my Twitter, on my Instagram is labeled. And the interesting thing is almost all of the medical misinformation is coming from the sponsored physicians, which I mean that they have a lot of NIH contracts, big pharma contracts to do research. They're in a corporate model of employment where they can't speak freely. It's also coming from our public health agencies. It's coming from the President of the United States. I have seen so many times that we're giving medical misinformation that can hurt people. And yet, President Joe Biden just recently said, if you get the vaccine, you will not get COVID. In the last 2 weeks, about 40% of the patients I'm treating were fully vaccinated months ago. Talk about medical information, misinformation that could hurt people. You get sick and you think, well, I've been vaccinated, so it certainly can't be COVID. so I'll meet with my family. That is putting lives at risk. We spent a year of trying to show that these things don't work. We were trying to prove a negative, and that's really an impossible thing to do. We were trying to show that masks don't work and lockdowns don't work. And there were studies that showed that. But you know what? It's not our job to prove that these things don't work and that they're not necessary. It's the government's job to prove that they are necessary and they work to us. It's their responsibility to show that there is a purpose to any of these things. And they can't do that. And any new recommendation, edict, mandate that comes out, any recommendation should be met with the demand based on what? You want my kids to wear masks to school every day? Based on what? You want to close down my business? Based on what? You want me to not go to the beach and be able to breathe fresh air and look at the ocean that God created for us to enjoy? Based on what? And the answer cannot be based on expert opinion. The opinions and recommendations of the CDC, Dr. Fauci, and even the American Academy of Pediatrics are not science. They are opinion, and at this point, they're propaganda. And when we hear these recommendations from these agencies and local governments, we must ask based on what? They shut down our schools. Underserved children had no education for almost a year, and parents that could get their kids out did so in record numbers. While the school unions proved that they care nothing about our kids' education or our kids and were willing to use them as a bargaining chip in their collective bargaining. 3 months ago, people started saying they're coming for our kids. It seemed crazy at the time. And yet here we are with an FDA-authorized drug that's not FDA-approved that is being injected into our children based on a study of under 2,000 children receiving this vaccine. In California, they're going to be masking our kids K through 12 all day long in school. There is zero science or data to back this up. There's actually worldwide data from many other countries who have sent their kids back without masks, many schools within our country who have sent their kids back without masks, contrary to the mandates. They're relying on recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is basing their recommendations on exactly zero data. These are our experts who provide the propaganda which steals our rights. They are going to make our kids wear masks until the kids beg to be vaccinated so that they can get the freedom of breathing fresh air. They will make them beg for it, and it will be given in school. Maybe with your consent and knowledge, maybe not. And then they still are not going to let kids go to school without masks. Their compliance will not be enough. We will not have kids out of masks until all kids are vaccinated. And so then the vaccinated children will be put in a position to peer pressure and bully the unvaccinated kids that are holding them back from their freedom, even though they complied with the vaccine. Think of this year and a half and recognize the medical tyranny that's been created at the hands of public health. Recognize the clear patterns of propaganda and teach your children to recognize them. Meet every mandate, rule, recommendation, and restriction of your freedom with the phrase, based on what? As we go through the talks of today, remember that we're in the eye of the storm. We've got to get our energy back up for this fight. You'll be hearing a lot of information that's going to reinforce that the knowledge you have, that the emotion you have, that your intuition is right, and this has all been wrong. This is going to be a marathon and a half. Stay strong in your beliefs and ally with others who share your beliefs and are willing to stand strong. I thank you for being brave. I thank you for being here, and I thank you for being part of AFLDS. Thank you.